Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We want to continue looking at some Old Testament stories that are given to us in God's Word. And we looked last week at the great account of Genesis, and this morning we want to look at the creation of man and woman. We've got to get back to these truthful accounts of God's Word because we've left them so in so many ways today. We need to hit the reset button. We need to go all the way back to the beginning. Jesus did that in talking about marriage in Matthew chapter 19. He went back to the beginning. And we need to do that from time to time. Go back to the beginning to learn about creation. Go back to the beginning to learn about marriage and the formation of man and woman. So we're glad that you've joined us this morning, and we hope that our study of God's Word will be beneficial and helpful. If you get your Bible out, we're going to pick up where we left off. We're going to start reading in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4 in just a moment. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. Of course, when we closed last week by looking at the account of creation, we noticed that at the end, on the seventh day, God rested from His work. This actually became the pattern of working 6 days and resting on the seventh, became a pattern for the work week for the Old Testament Jew, working 6 days and then resting on the seventh day or on the Sabbath day. But even more so for us today, it has become a pattern of working for Christ and living the faithful life, and then resting in heaven. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer says that for Christians there remains a rest for us at the end of our life of working for the Master. And that rest will be in paradise in heaven, and we're going to be reading about that paradise again this morning. And so things that we find, patterns that we find, and principles at the very beginning of time, we're going to see come back at the end of time. One other thing before we read this morning, when we closed last week, we noticed that when all of the creation was done and God is resting, we find the statement that everything was good. And we need to remember that when God created all things, it was good. There was no sin. There was no evil. And we need to remember that that has been brought about by mankind. It's not something that was there from the beginning. It was not something that is inherent in anything that God makes. What is inherent in what God makes is very good. Genesis 1:31, it was very good. If there is evil in any situation, any relationship, it's not because of God, it's because of man. So this morning, let's pick up the reading in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, and let's read this account of man and woman made in the Garden of Eden, and marriage. Genesis 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that Jehovah God made earth and heaven. And no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for Jehovah God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Jehovah God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made he Jehovah God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became four heads. The name of the first is Pishon, that is, that which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium in the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is that which goes in front of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. And Jehovah God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And Jehovah God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." And out of the ground Jehovah God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them unto the man to see what he would call them. And whatsoever the man called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And the man gave names to all the cattle, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for man there was not found a help meet for him. And Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Jehovah God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." What we're reading this morning, friends, is a more detailed description of God's creation of man and woman on the sixth day. In chapter 1, we read about the creation of man and woman on the sixth day in verses 26, 27, 28, and following. This is now the more of the detailed account of that in chapter 2, 4 through 25. Remember back in chapter 1 that man and woman are made in the likeness of God, in His image. We have something special that the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom and the physical world does not have. We are made in the image of God. We have parts of us that are like God. Our consciousness, our free will, our ability to create, to think and to remember, and various other aspects of our spirit or heart or mind or soul. We're made in the image of God. That's why we need to treat each other properly. Later in the book of Genesis, God says not to shed man's blood because he's made in the image of God. And even James talks about in James chapter 3 that we're not to use our tongue to curse man because he's made in the image of God. We need to treat each other better than mankind often treats one another. But they are made in the image of God. And notice in chapter 2 then, verses 4 through 25, we're going to notice some important necessities and needs of man that God made from the very beginning. First of all, I want us to notice in chapter 2 and verse 7 that man is made by God from the dust of the ground. He did not evolve from animals. He is a separate creation. He's separate from the animal kingdom. Animals did not evolve into men and women as is taught by naturalistic evolution. In verse 7, Adam is made separate from the animals, and Eve is made from a rib of Adam. So notice that. We did not evolve from animals. Many people today, they've been taught that they are an animal, and they certainly act like that. We need to get back to the truth of where we came from. Notice also, beginning in verse 8, that God made a garden and placed man and woman in that garden, and it was good. The food that was given was good in verse 9. This is similar to what we read again in chapter 1, that when God makes something, He makes that which is good. There's no sin in the picture. We're going to see that in the next story in chapter 3. We're going to see that sin enters in, and goodness leaves. But right now, there's no sin in the picture, and everything is good. And I want you to notice this garden. This is the Garden of Eden, verse 10. This is a paradise. And I want you to notice that God intended for man and woman to be with him in fellowship in a beautiful paradise or garden. Now later in chapter 3, when sin enters in, they're cast out of this garden. But friends, we can be back in that garden again in the judgment day. When we go to heaven, in the book of Revelation, it's described as a garden with the tree of life in it. So what God made at the beginning is lost in Adam and Eve, but it can be regained in Jesus Christ. And so we need to be baptized into Christ, live a faithful Christian life, and we can be with God in that paradise where the tree of life is in heaven for all eternity. And you read about that in the book of Revelation. So what was lost in Adam and Eve is gained back in Jesus Christ. And so Adam and Eve are in this beautiful garden where they're being taken care of. Notice that God gives mankind his basic needs. He needs something to eat. We also find that he needs companionship. He's a social being, and so Eve was created. We'll talk about her in just a moment. Mankind also needs work. We find that after a description of this garden, and we don't know where exactly the Garden of Eden was located. You can look at these four rivers and get an idea out of the entire earth or the entire planet. You can narrow it down to what we call the Middle East, the area of Iraq and Iran, ancient Babylon, that particular area, or Assyria. Over in that part of the earth, somewhere there, the Garden of Eden was located. We infer that from these rivers. And notice that when God put him in the garden, verse 15, it was to work. It wasn't just to sit around and take an extended vacation. Our mind and our body is made to work. And when we're lazy, when we don't work, when we just sit around and do nothing, then not only is that contrary to God's plan, other places in the Bible, like the book of Proverbs, talk about the problems of slothfulness. It causes problems for our mind and our body. We need to be busy working. I heard recently where some of the new congressmen are suggesting that the government should take care of people not only that can't work, but who are unwilling to work. That's some new plan that they're wanting. That's not God's way. And so, verse 15, to dress it and to keep it. Man needs food, shelter, clothing. Man needs work. Man also needs law. In verse 16, God commanded the man. Here's law for the very first time we find in the Word of God. You might say that law went back to chapter 1, verse 28, to be fruitful and multiply. So they were given law there. But law enters in to mankind from God for the very first time. And so we need that to keep us on the straight and narrow. We need God's guidance. You can see when man does not follow God's law, the problems that we get into, and we see that in the world today. But of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And we'll talk about that when we get to chapter 3, Lord willing, next week. Notice that law is both positive and negative. Sometimes we just view God's law as negative, all the things that we're not allowed to do. But notice again in verse 16, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. They had free will. Adam and Eve and everyone after them, including all of us today, God gives us free will to choose. And they could choose freely to eat of many things. There is liberty here. Look at the freely. Liberty and leeway. God is not just about restriction, but he does have that as well. And so of this one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat of it. And so law, things that we may do, things that we may not do. That has always been from this account all the way down through until today. God has always had both positive and negative law for mankind, and mankind can choose to follow it or disobey it in sin. And so, we find God providing the basic needs of mankind. One other need that is left, and that is that there be a woman, a wife, for Adam. In the story of the creation of all things in Adam and Eve, there is one time where it is said that something is not good, and that is man being alone. And so in chapter 2 and verse 18, it is not good that man should be alone. There was a brief period of time, we don't know how long, that Adam was by himself before Eve was made. And when he was in that state, it was not good. And so God wanted to make a help meet, the old English word M-E-E-T, some of the newer versions say, a companion, someone who is suitable for him. He did not find that from the animals. Remember, we did not evolve from animals. Man was made as a separate, special, at the very height of God's creation. And so it is natural and normal that man would not find a companion among animals. We did not evolve from animals. And so not finding a companion among the animals, God is going to form woman from man. Man was given the duty to name all of the animals, and he did that, but there was not found a help meet for him. Verse 20, but for man there was not found a help meet or suitable for him, and so God took care of that. And so Eve is formed, woman. And I want you to notice some things about the creation of man and woman and the institution of marriage here. This is extremely important. We've come so far away from the biblical truths that are found here. Far away with regard to gender and far away with regard to marriage. We've got to come back to the beginning here and these Bible truths. So let's notice some things first of all. Notice first of all that man is made male and female. We read that last week in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Man is made male and female. That's how we are born. That's in our genetic DNA. Today, I'm hearing the latest thing is that parents are wanting to have genderless babies. Well, that's just not true. It's just a statement. It's a slogan. It's a narrative. It's just words that people are saying. That baby is going to be born male or female, period. But what they mean by that is when that male or female is born, they're going to let them grow up and choose to be something opposite of what they were born. It's just words. You can say things, but in reality, your DNA is not changed. You could even have some sex changes and manipulate your body physically, outwardly. You can change a few things. You can take some hormones. I'm very familiar with that. But you don't change your DNA. You are still a male or a female. And we've got to stop this foolishness of changing things. It's actually coming back to bite us now with regard to some of these bathroom laws that are being made. Men are going into women's restrooms and things like that. And we're beginning to see some practical problems. We need to stop it and come back to the truths of God's Word. We're living in a generation where everybody just gets what they want. We just say something and we get it. We've got to stop that. And so we're made male and female. There's no confusion when we're born. There's no transgendering. There's no cross-gendering. There's no where one might be the other. We are made male and female. Also notice, with regard to marriage, notice that God made man and woman. We are heterosexual. We're not homosexual. God did not make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. He made a man and a woman. Notice that they are heterosexual. Notice that he made one man and one woman. Marriage is heterosexual. Marriage is monogamous, mono, one. One man and one woman. And marriage is for life. They are to leave, cleave, and become one flesh. We've got to get back to understanding gender the way it was from the very beginning, and the way it's been for thousands of years. It's only in the last few decades that we're trying to promote this foolishness. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it needs to remain. And the same with marriage. When Jesus was asked about marriage in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, he went back to the beginning. And the beginning is that marriage is heterosexual, not homosexual. It's monogamous, not polygamous. It's one man and one woman. It's not bigamy. It's not polygamy. And it is for life. It is not just divorce for any cause. I realize that's a law of the land, but it's not a law of God. Jesus will make one exception to this in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9 when he says that one may put away or divorce their mate for fornication if they are sexually immoral and unfaithful to their mate. One may put that guilty one away. But the rule is that a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh, one united in mind and in body. Cleaving there, not just some loose relationship that is broken up at every whim and any whim, hurting ourselves and any children that may be in the picture. But cleaving, working through that, there will be marriage problems. There will be challenges and obstacles to overcome. But when we remain one, we will be better for it. At the very end of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, in Malachi chapter 2, I find it interesting that at the very beginning of the Old Testament, in Genesis 2, and then at the very end of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 2, we come back to this same theme, of one man and one woman. And Malachi has God reminding his people to stop divorcing. I hate divorce. And in Malachi 2:15, why did God make one? He, God, sought a godly seed. He made one married couple, Adam and Eve, because he sought a godly seed that would come from him. That is the godly way, the godly family that God has always wanted. Not multiple partners, not divorce for any cause, not unwed mothers, not deadbeat dads and dads that have run off, moms that have run off, but one man, one woman raising a godly seed. And so, friends, what we see here in the story of Genesis chapter 2 is the account, the historical account of the first man and woman, and the way God wanted it to be, having fellowship with him in a garden where no sin is. We can have that, friends, today in heaven. If we will obey God's word now and live faithfully, we can have that paradise with God. We can be with him where there is nothing but good. And we have to get back to the beginning of understanding where God wants us to be, and that's with him in paradise. Will you live in such a way that you can be a part of that? we also need to get back to the beginning and understanding where we came from. Adam and Eve were a separate creation by God directly, a direct creation of Adam from the ground, a direct creation of Eve from his rib. We have not evolved from animals. Yes, I know that that's taught in school and in books and movies and music and other kinds of things, but it's a creation of man. It's not the truth of God's word. It was popularized by Charles Darwin in the 1800s. Many before him taught that, but he popularized it for a modern age, and that's what has stuck in our colleges and universities and other places, even at the high school level and lower. But that's not the truth. Apes and monkeys and chimpanzees are not our ancestors. Let's stop acting like that. Let's act like the individuals made in the image of God, whom we really are. We need to get back to seeing what marriage is all about, and that is one man and one woman for life. And we're reaping the sad consequences of homosexuality. It's dividing people, even religious people. Just recently, the United Methodist Church is now divided over the topic of homosexuality and transgender. There should be no reason for that. God's word is clear on these matters from the very beginning. But once we go by man's word and what man thinks and feels and wants and says, then there's going to be division. Homosexuality. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, a man shall not lie with a beast like he lies with a woman. In Romans chapter 1, when men do things with men, Paul says that it's unseemly, it's vile, it's ungodly. The Bible is clear on that. There's no confusion over that. Man comes along and tries to make it difficult. There can be unity on the word of God. There will always be division when we follow man's word. Get back to one man, one woman for life in this marriage relationship. And when you look at the close of the account in chapter 2, verse 25, they were naked, but they were not ashamed because there was no sin in the picture. Completely innocent. I think about when a little baby, a little toddler, sometimes they'll run through the room and they won't have anything on. It kind of reminds me of that. There's innocency there. There's no sin there. We don't do that later in life, of course. So we're going to see how that sin enters the picture, Lord willing, next week when we look at the next account involving the devil. The devil always enters in and messes things up. But friends, we're glad that you joined us this morning on the program. Can we learn these basic Bible truths by going back to the beginning? Can we hit the reset button and go back? That's what we want to encourage you to do. Can we get together and study these things more? Will you come worship with us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ? Can we have a home Bible study? Please contact us and let us know if we can study these things more with you. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll have a blessed day.